T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
CJ Nitkowski, Indians are playing the Rangers in a final tune-up here at the ballpark at Arlington the next 2 days. CJ will be on the call, part of the Rangers broadcast team, MLB Network Radio as well, of course. What's up, CJ? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, so I'm glad you brought that up because I have a very important public service announcement to announce to the Indians fans. So our game is actually going, our broadcast is going to be run in Cleveland tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, so you get the Rangers broadcasters, which I know is an Indian fan you'll absolutely hate. But we will do our best. We've actually been asked to just, you know, play it down the middle. It's probably a little strong.
Yeah.
But at least to lean a little bit. I don't say lean Indians because I don't want to get fired. But we are going to just try to basically, we're going to keep that in mind, knowing that they're picking up our broadcasts. So take it for what it's worth.
That's cool. I think
and actually, it might be a more important message for the Rangers fans, quite honestly. Because you know
right.
how that goes. When you say thing about the other team and they're down your throat.
Right.
So the game will be on tonight, but it will be the Rangers broadcast that you guys are getting. So patience, please.
It doesn't matter what you say, CJ, because the fans always think you're biased against their team. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what you do. By the way, we had last week a fellow member of the first round of your draft class on our show. You want to take a guess who it might have been?
How was the career? Was it?
He didn't have much of a career.
Okay, so was it Nomar Garciaparra?
Nope.
Anton Williamson?
Nope. I'll give you a clue. He played football, too. He played football, too.
Oh, Josh Booty?
There you
Josh
go.
Booty, my guess. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
Good job out of you, Josh Booty.
Yeah.
Hey, CJ, you know.
Hey, real quick, I don't want to interrupt you and hijack you a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
My favorite part of that is that, I don't know if you know this or not, but I was taking like 2 or 3 picks ahead of Nomar.
Well, I know that.
I mean, what a mistake. And then and Jarrett Wright, too. Jarrett Wright, I think, was 10th in that draft. I always, you know, give him crap about that. And he was like, well, I got a bigger signing bonus than you did. and he also had a much better career.
And Jarrett Wright was on that Indians World Series team his rookie year.
Oh, yeah. We watched him break through with the Indians. And he was a stud, man. He's a good dude. I know he still comes around. I saw him, I guess it was last year, 2 years ago, coming by and doing some of the PR stuff and treat visits. And he's just an all-around good dude.
CJ, fans, you know, think about the 90s and the Indians and this more recent run as they've been to the playoffs 3 years in a row and 4-6, and they're frustrated. Today, I don't know if you saw the comments from Paul Dolan, but, you know, he talked about the fact that basically admitted that they're not going to be able to sign Francisco Lindor. And I get the economics of baseball, but, you know, I am so angry and the fans are really frustrated because the Indians have cut about $25 million off the payroll in the middle of their window to winning. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's really frustrating. And so I think the thing that you'll never get that a fan really wants is legitimate revenue transparency. Right?
Because that's right.
Because we sit there, we guess, we have ideas, and then we buy into, hey, they're out of money, right? They've gone too far. And you look at the market, and it's pretty easy, I think, if you're in Cleveland, if you're trying to sell the fans on that, of understanding, like, you know, you see where we are from a revenue standpoint, where we are maybe from, you know, whether it's a TV contract or attendance. I know attendance has lagged a little bit, why this team has been good. It's somewhat of an easy sell. You know, the payroll last year opened up, I believe. It was supposed to, at least according to Kotz, last year opened up at 134, which was a franchise high, and finished around 150. You know, those numbers are never exact. Like, everyone works really hard to get the best numbers we can. But I think that's the thing. Like, if you really want to get any empathy from your fans, which is a near impossible task, you'd like to have some transparency on revenue, which is pretty much impossible to get, and I get why an ownership group would never do that. But when you see everything else that's happening in the game right now and the money that's getting thrown around, now the Angels have tremendous revenues, and that should be noted. Right? They have a monster television contract. They have one of the bigger ones of maybe that you'd be surprised to hear, at about $150 million a year. They get 3 million fans a year. So you can get why Artie Moreno's going to go ahead and take that chance, because they're a revenue giant. They don't get talked about as much as the Dodgers and the Red Sox and the Yankees, but they do really well from a revenue standpoint. And so that makes sense. But it is frustrating because, I mean, this guy is such a stud. He's so likable. Everything else, he's a franchise player. There's everything you're looking for out of a franchise player. and that the Indians just, they said they can't go there. You know, we'd love to know what is the legitimate bottom line dollar mark for them, right? Now, I don't hear about debt service or, you know,
right,
appreciation of the franchise and everything else. What's the legitimate dollar bottom line? How much are you taking home? I think that's what fans probably really want to know, and they're not going to get that answer. And so because of it, they're going to remain frustrated, and understandably so.
And CJ, I think one of the biggest frustrations for Indians fans, they understand the restrictions ownership has made with the payroll and stuff, but like the fact that the payroll's down this year from last year, when you're a contender, you're the favorites to win the division, and your payroll, well, what are we down, $30 million from last year?
Yeah, it's going to end up being between 20 and 30.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that part is frustrating, and that's where I think the question comes up. Again, this is what we haven't drawn. I haven't looked at their television contract. I don't know if you guys have a ton of information on it.
It's not good.
It's not great, but no. It's coming up soon, isn't it? Yeah. Or is it?
I think we. How many more years?
I think it's 2 or 3 years.
Two or three more years.
Yeah. So yeah. All right, so then you take a situation like that and say, okay, can you anticipate the fact that that contract is going to be significantly better? Right. I mean, you see, an average team these days, an average team is pulling in $75 million a year on their television contract. You saw that big one a couple of years ago. I think people were kind of shocked at the Diamondbacks, where they go 20 or 25 years at like $1.5 billion, right? I mean, it's just, there's monster dollars to be had, and it should be for an average team. I mean, listen, you guys, the ratings are good.
Yes.
Like, people watch the team. It's just that maybe the attendance hasn't been there. So is it fair to say, well, we should be assuming that we're about to take a monster jump with our television contract? Then can we get ahead of that and take the chance with Francisco Lindor and throw that money out there so maybe for the next year or two, those revenues still aren't there, but they're coming? Because our television contract is going to be a good one. Because no matter what's happening with television, I just actually retweeted something from one of our ratings guys with Fox. News and sports are still, they crush it. But scripted television is getting killed with revenues and advertising dollars. But live television, live news, especially on the cable side, the money's still there and it continues to grow. And that's why the RSNs, which are up for sale, are going to demand a pretty high price tag. And so you'd like to think that your team could bank on that a little bit as they take another look as far as what's happening potentially here with their next TV contract.
We're talking with CJ Nitkowski. CJ, you know, you look at have you ever seen a team of studs and duds like the Indians? I mean, you think about this team. You've got their starting rotation's fantastic. It's the best in baseball. Brad Hand, back of the pen, excellent, one of the best relievers. Mm-hmm. Lindor and Ramirez are top 10 players in Major League Baseball. Almost every other player on the team is either unproven or not very good. I mean, I guess you got Carlos Santana in the middle. Maybe Kipnis is still in the middle, but I'd say he's below that. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is like a question mark, and yet you have these 6, 7 guys, 8 guys at the top who are fantastic.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Especially on the pitching side, right? I mean, everyone is still envious of how deep the Cleveland Indians are with their starting rotation. I mean, just some really, really impactful arms. And we saw Clevenger in a spring training game. I know you guys have seen him now for a couple of years. He's fun to watch, man. And, you know, what, a fourth starter in Cleveland?
Yeah.
And he'd be up the ladder a little bit higher. I mean, a guy that gave it 200 innings a year ago. So they have that. And you're right, it is. It's kind of weird. Not a lot of middle class on that team. Maybe that is a product of where they are because you look at Corey Kluber with a team-friendly deal. Trevor Bauer kind of riding out his service time. So it's year-to-year going through the arbitration system. Carlos Carrasco with a somewhat friendly deal. You know, they've been able to build this thing without having to go crazy. I mean, you know, outside of, I'm trying to think, is the biggest contract as far as the position player goes is still Jason Kipnis?
Well, Santana now.
Well, Santana comes over. One they wouldn't give him, right, but they're able to get him back.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the idea of really diving on the deep end, right, he's a 3 for 60, but they haven't been responsible
for all that.
And, you know, and so, yeah, I mean, that's the biggest one. And you just saw all these extensions and all these dollars that are getting thrown out. It is kind of a weird situation. I guess it comes down to, you know, a lot of times we talk about trying to hedge your bets, right, spread your money out. This is probably the best way they can do it, though. I mean, you got to give him a ton of credit for that Jose Ramirez contract. I know he's probably kicking himself, but, man, I mean, that is amazing. He doesn't get over $10 million until the option years start kicking in.
Right.
Until 2022. That's amazing. So they did a great job with that. They got themselves a superstar that they don't have to pay. I would say that also adds to the frustration, though, saying you got a great break here. You know, what are we doing? Why can't we, why can't we add, and not even talking about Lindor, but even going after a middle-of-the-road outfielder that's going to cost you, you know, $8 to $12 million this past offseason. Didn't seem like it was there. It didn't seem like it was something they were able to pull off.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. You look at their 5 starters, Hand, Ramirez, and Lindor. They're making less than $70 million between them this year. On the market, those 5 starters, Hand, Lindor, and Ramirez, would make, I don't know, $150, $170. And to your point, like you said, like if they had just re-signed Brantley, not traded Gomes, and signed one good relief pitcher, I think everybody would be happy right now.
Yeah.
And their payroll would be about the same as it was last year. Maybe a little higher, to be fair. But not that much.
No. And the other part of that, right, is because you go through the window. Remember when they picked up Andrew Miller, I said at the time, man, this is for three World Series runs, right? And a couple of injuries kind of got in the way. He did a good job. I mean, you got to give him credit for at least under their economic constraints that they put together a World Series contender, and gosh, they should have won that World Series. I mean, still, I know it probably kills Indians fans knowing that they probably should have won that World Series. It was theirs and it slipped away. But it's hard to do. If you're going to stay under those payroll constraints, it is hard to do that consistently, right? Like the A's will stink for a while, then they pop back up. And I know they're not quite the same, but they're not that far off. But and then you got the Rays, who are terrible for a while, and then all of a sudden they pop back up. They find a way to kind of find a hole in the market. And I think the reality is maybe here for the Indians is that's how they have to operate. It's not fun as a fan, but that's probably their game plan is can they find it? And it's harder and harder to find those holes in the industry that can make your team better. They don't need to do it from a starting pitching standpoint, like things like using the opener the way that Tampa did. I don't know if they're going to pour the resources into the bullpen the way the Oakland A's did, but it's things like that that are a little bit, I guess, off the beaten path and not the standard move that maybe for Indian fans they got to come to grips with. Yeah, they'll add a little bit here. You know, when the Kipnis contract is over, you know, maybe it's somewhere in that range again for somebody else. But unfortunately, I don't think it's ever going to be, you know, the $150 to $200 million contract for a stud like Francisco Lindor.
You know, when you look at the injury to Lindor, you know, he's been battling this calf injury. Should there be legitimate concern as we approach the opening day here?
I hope not. I don't think so. I mean, I know they're being a little bit careful since they're starting in Minnesota, right, so they want to keep an eye on. They know the weather doesn't look terrible just yet, but I think they were anticipating it could have been bad, right, so they don't want to put him out there in pretty cold weather. You know, was it Josh Donaldson that dealt with it for a while, right? It kind of got nagging, and we sit there and we look at a calf, and all of a sudden you can't seem to get rid of it. You know, there's no getting around it. You can't favor it. It's got to be completely healed. And if you tweak it again, you're going to, you know, knock yourself down even a little bit longer. And it's really important for a guy who plays a rangy position where you need him to be able to run and use those legs as much as possible. You could get away with that a little bit more, maybe at a corner infield position, but not at shortstop, not in center, certainly not at second. So it's worth keeping an eye on. And like all these injuries, you know, trusting that the medical staff has it right and keep your fingers crossed that it doesn't creep back up. Because if it does, like in the middle of the year, right, they're gonna rely on the backs of their pitching. But you just went through, you know, how it's such a concentrated lineup, like right there in the middle where you're getting your most production and you have some question marks about the rest of it. They're in a situation where their margin for error with their offense is pretty small. And so if they lose a guy like Lindor for any significant amount of time, luckily they're in a weak division. But that could potentially open up the door maybe for the Twins. I mean, that's the good news, right? You're not in the American League East is the good news. When you can limp your way into a division title, doesn't give you much hope as far as making a World Series run. But, you know, who knows? That could be the way that it plays out as well, that they find a way to win it, and if they can be completely healthy, they certainly can ride that starting pitching to a championship, and maybe they add a bullpen piece or two as they go along.
Curious, CJ, about your Texas Rangers there, who have, man, it's an interesting pitching staff. It's a bunch of guys who have been hurt a million times. Some interesting names, but none of them can make the Indians roster, I don't think, or certainly not their rotation. But
certainly not the rotation.
No.
Yeah, there's a handful of teams that probably could say that. Maybe fifth starter spot.
True.
As far as, you know, Shane Bieber goes. But yeah, so they, you know, this is, we've talked about this before, right?
Yeah.
Teams not wanting to go middle class.
Right.
The Rangers kind of have here a little bit.
Yeah, they have.
From a broadcasting standpoint and a fan standpoint, you're going to appreciate it, right?
Yes.
They're not going into, we're going to lose 100 games 3 years in a row the way the Astros did, even though it worked out pretty well for the Astros. The Rangers are going into a new park next year. They would like to remain relevant, and so they take some low-risk chances on guys like Volquez and Drew Smyly and Shelby Miller.
Lance Lynn.
Lance Lynn did give him a three-year deal, but the three other guys are recently coming off Tommy John surgery. I mean,
yep.
Smyly hasn't pitched in the big leagues in a couple of years, same with Volquez. And so I like it. I mean, I like it from a fan standpoint. Like I mentioned, for us, it gives us interesting storylines, names that people have heard of. Maybe get off to a good start, keep guys healthy, and keep them in it. Because if they can find a way, and it's a challenge in that division, but if they can find a way, this is a team I think they would add as well if they think they have a chance. And so that's the route they went. The other part of it is they just don't have the prospects, pitching prospects, at the high level. They don't have the guys that are knocking on the door that you're taking innings or starts away from because they're ready or they're about ready or they deserve innings on a rebuilding team. They really don't have those guys. Most of their prospects are at the lower levels, and so they're still a couple of years away from seeing those guys. And they don't want to be an embarrassment. So they go out and they find a way to put together somewhat of a competitive rotation without spending the big dollars.
One other Rangers-related question about a former Indian, Shin-Soo Choo. I'm guessing they'd love to move on from his contract, but at $21 million this year, $21 million next year, probably. I'm sure they would trade him. Would they trade him for anything? I know he's still a decent player, but
yeah.
You think they would?
I think they would.
Yeah.
They would because of the dollars, right? They'd love to probably free that up. But he is bringing a lot of value to the team, and he still gets on base.
Yeah.
Still hits for power, right? 21 home runs last year, which is only one off of his career high of 22, which he's done multiple times. And he does, you know, listen, I know fans don't love hearing this part, but there are some ancillary benefits to having him around the clubhouse. Adrian Beltre has gone. Chu has been such a good hitter as far as understanding the strike zone, not chasing a ton. He keeps you guessing on as far as what his game plan is. He'll have an 8-pitch at bat, and then he'll swing at the first pitch a lot of times too and put in play, which is tough for an opposing pitcher when you're trying to game plan against the guy. He's doing his best to try to share that with his young lineup. There's some lack of discipline in the lineup, a lot of swing and miss. There's certainly some power. He's starting to definitely have some real positive effects on guys like Ruben Odor. They spend a lot of time together talking about at-bats, talking about approaches. There was a story written about a situation with Odor. He got down in a count 0-2, ended up hitting an opposite field home run. He's hit one opposite field home run in the big leagues the last 3 years, and he hit one in spring training. And Chu was there at 6 o'clock in the morning wanting to go over a video with him about it and how great it was and what happened. So not that you're paying $21, $22 million to have that in your clubhouse, but the Rangers definitely appreciate what he's been able to do and the fact that he's still productive. He will be a DH. They put him out in left field a little bit because Joey Gallo was hurt at the end of spring. He'll see some time out there, but he still brings value to the team. If anybody came knocking and wanted Chu, no doubt that the Rangers would be open to it, but they're not completely disappointed that he's here either.
CJ, we appreciate it, man. Thanks. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Absolutely.
Thanks, CJ.
All right, we'll be watching you tonight.
About how bad the broadcast was.
Thanks, E.
Good luck, man.
All right,
thanks.
See you guys.
All right, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.